One week ago, we were celebrating a feast in honor of the baptism of the Lord Jesus. That was the last day of the Christmas season. Today, on this Sunday of Ordinary Time, the Gospel for the Mass picks up just where last Sunday's Gospel left off. Last Sunday, we read St. John, the Apostle and Evangelist's account of the baptism of Jesus. Today, we continue that reading from St. John's Gospel, reading about John the Baptist, who had just, of course, baptized Jesus, giving witness to him. And it is very, very important that he did, that John the Baptist gave witness to the identity and the mission of the Lord Jesus. Last week, the Gospel told us that the Father and the Holy Spirit were present at the Jordan River when Jesus was baptized to give witness to him. But did you notice this detail in last Sunday's Gospel, if you can think back that far? We were told that Jesus saw the Holy Spirit descend in bodily form like a dove and rest on him. That passage last Sunday was silent on the question of whether anyone else saw the Holy Spirit visibly in the form of a dove. We were just told that Jesus did. And then last Sunday's Gospel used the passive voice to describe the witness that the Father gave from heaven. A voice from heaven was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son." Doesn't say who heard it. Leaves that question open. Might have been only the Lord himself. A voice from heaven was heard. So last Sunday's Gospel told us without question that the Lord Jesus was affirmed in his identity and his mission by the presence of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the Father. But was that known to anyone else at the time? In the Gospel today, we're told, John testified saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him." So John the Baptist also gives testimony to the identity and the mission of the Lord Jesus. And that's very important, not just because of what John saw or heard, but because of the whole situation, the whole context for this event, for these events in the Gospel. John is baptizing by the Jordan River down in Judea, south of Jerusalem, not far north from the Dead Sea, the old Jewish heartland. The Lord Jesus has spent virtually his whole hidden life, first 30 years of his life, not in Judea, not in that area near Jerusalem, the Jewish heartland, but up in Galilee, by the shores of the Sea of Galilee, in the north of what we would today call Israel. The Lord has lived those first 30 years in a very obscure, podunk little village up in the hills of Galilee called Nazareth. Not much more than a few built-out cave dwellings up in the hills. He has come down to where John is baptizing in the south, in Judea, but appears there sort of out of nowhere. No one has ever heard of him until now. if he doesn't appear out of nowhere, he certainly appears from Nowheresville. John the Baptist, on the other hand, is already known, respected, revered as a true prophet. Maybe the chief priests and the scribes are not entirely on board with this, but among the people, there was a great respect for John the Baptist, that he is the real deal. He is an authentic prophet of God. And so, for John the Baptist to give testimony to Jesus at the very beginning of the Lord's public life, this is critical. This is the endorsement that gives credibility to what the Lord is going to begin to say. And it's very clear in the gospel, according to John, how important this testimony John gives is. The very next thing that happens after the passage we hear this morning as the gospel of the Mass is that on the next day, Jesus again walks by where John is busy baptizing people. And John the Baptist again says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The next day, two of John the Baptist's disciples are there to hear the Baptist say that. John the Baptist, of course, was already a religious figure. He already had disciples of his own. So two of those disciples, one named Andrew, a second whose name we do not know, heard this testimony that John gave, the same testimony that he gave the next day, "Behold, there is the Lamb of God." And based on that endorsement from John the Baptist, they follow him. They follow Jesus at a distance, not quite sure of what they should say or what they should do. This leads to the famous exchange of the Lord turning and saying to those two disciples of John the Baptist, "What are you looking for?" They don't have a great answer, or maybe they're afraid to give the real answer to that question. And so they say rather clumsily, "Master, where are you staying?" To which the Lord responds, "Come and see." And so they spend the rest of the day with Jesus of Nazareth. And we're told further in the gospel that having spent the remainder of the day with him, the very next thing that Andrew does is to go get his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." He brings Simon, later Simon Peter, to meet Jesus. The first thing Jesus says to him is, "You are Simon, son of John. You will henceforth be Cephas," that is rock, Peter. So St. John the Baptist and his witness was instrumental in the Lord getting those first of his own disciples. This past Monday was the first day of ordinary time in this new year. And the gospel this past Monday at weekday Mass was the Lord's call of Simon and Andrew, James and John back in Galilee, where they were, of course, fishing. That was their occupation. That was their livelihood. The Lord comes along the shore of the sea, sees them at work, cleaning their nets, working as fishermen, and he says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." We read that gospel on Monday from St. Mark. When you read it in St. Mark's gospel, as far as you know, that's the first time any of them had ever laid eyes on Jesus. But with St. John's gospel in the background, you know, no, that's not the case. Undoubtedly, Simon and Andrew, James and John needed a particular grace from the Holy Spirit to say yes, to abandon their livelihood, to give up their boats and their nets and to follow Jesus. But they did not do it at the first invitation of a stranger. You could think that just reading St. Mark's Gospel, but he wasn't a stranger. Because John the Baptist had first given witness to him, they had first met him, they had first been convinced, at least we know St. Andrew was, that he was the Messiah. It was because they had that first introduction that when Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," they were able to do it. It was still a leap of faith, for sure, but it wasn't out of the blue. It wasn't just completely inexplicable in human terms. They had already been introduced to the Lord. When we think about our own experience, I think most, if not all of us, would have to say that our receiving of the gift of faith had something to do with the witness that others first gave to the identity and the mission of the Lord Jesus. We had to make the act of faith for ourselves, but we were prepared to do that because someone that we already knew and respected and perhaps loved vouched for him and told us that there was something here, someone here that we should know. Classically, in the last 20 centuries, this has happened in family life. And I imagine that's true for many of us. I think of myself. You know, when I was a little boy, I didn't know much. But one thing I knew was that my parents loved me and that my grandmothers loved me. My grandpas were dead already. And that my aunt and uncle, my godparents, loved me. And so when they told me that the true God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we are disciples of Jesus, that we meet him in the Mass, that we try to live according to what he's taught us, that had great credibility because I knew that was being said by someone whom I loved and trusted. They first gave witness to the Lord. That's what helped me to believe. Again, of course, we all have to make our own act of faith eventually. Each of us has a free will, so we can make that act of faith or not. But typically, it becomes a possibility for us, at least, because of the witness that someone else gives. Often in family life, but sometimes that witness is lacking, or sometimes even verbal witness is given to the faith, to the Lord Jesus in family life, but the actions that accompany that verbal acknowledgement undermine the credibility of what's said. In those cases where the witness to Jesus in the family is lacking or not credible, the witness of others can help us. Sometimes our peers, sometimes another respected person in the older generation. Sometimes, you know, people read themselves into the faith. And you know, that looks a bit different, but in a way, the person who does that says, this author is really good. This person is really sharp, insightful. I can learn something from this person. And then that person gives witness to the faith, and you say, aha, that makes me think there is something here that I must pursue, that is of interest to me. Our new bishop, Bishop Haing, whom we all already love, because in the first place, he's a very hard worker, and there are very many Germans in the state, and anyone who is a hard worker immediately has our respect. But also because he's so evidently a wonderful person, so kind, so warm. Bishop Haing, whom we all already love, he has said that evangelization is the priority of his mission with us as our bishop. Evangelization, it means the spreading of the gospel. How does that happen? Well, it happens in many ways, but not least in our giving witness to the Lord, who may not be known much at all by others who are around us. So we want to be in very close communion with our bishop in this priority that he has for his work here among us. We want to think a lot about this mission of giving witness to the Lord as a way to open the door to faith for others. In my bulletin letter today, I talk about a somewhat mundane thing, that is, that we are always in need of readers to proclaim the first two readings at Mass, and also ushers to greet people coming in the doors and take up the collection. Those are tasks that need to be done. We need people to help with that. But in my letter in the bulletin, I try to think about those things from the perspective of evangelization, that if we accept this responsibility that the Lord gives us to give witness to him, how can we do this, just as one example, in one of those jobs, in one of those functions here in the parish? So probably I've already spoken for long enough. So if you want to see what the connection is, you have to get a copy of today's bulletin and take it home and read it. But it's part of a much bigger picture, that we want to think about this mission that the Lord has given us, to which our bishop has called us, to give witness to the Lord. Today, as we offer the Mass, we give thanks to the Lord for the witness of St. John the Baptist that was so critical to the launch of the Lord's public life. We give thanks also for sure for whoever it was in the life of each of us that was instrumental in giving witness to us, that opened our heart to want to know more about the Lord, who prepared us for the gift of faith. And we ask the Lord that he might help us in whatever way we can, in the circumstances of our own lives, to give witness to him.